God's the Lion of Judah, amen. And every now and then, God had to raise up a prophet to kick Judah's butt. That's what we're doing this morning. So get ready. Are you ready? Now, there are many NFL fans out there. Any NFL fans? All right, I know a lot of them. NFL season's getting ready to start. It's kind of taken the highlight of the sports world this week, especially with Antonio Brown and his helmet issues and his cryonic feet issues and all the other issues. I know Peyton Manning took it a little further yesterday when he announced his retirement last night from the NFL. That was shocking. But all the news around the NFL has been revolving around Antonio Brown and his instability. And for you Pittsburgh fans out there, I'm sure you're probably glad he's gone and out of your hair. But Mike Mayock, the general manager of the Oakland Raiders, came out this week, and he just laid the law down. He says, you're either all in or you're all out. God's raising up Haggai, this special messenger. We don't know a lot about Haggai, but his name meant festival or festive. Now, whether that meant that he was born during one of the three major feasts, I don't know. You can ask Tim when he gets back. Tim knows everything. I presume, and this is my presumption, it's not gospel, it's my presumption. I believe he gave Haggai that name because it was to summarize what life in Christ is like. It's a joyous festival in a cursed and falling world as we serve God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's just a joy to be able to do the things that God's called us to, because we're his people. And his people, God's expecting his people to be working about building his kingdom first. Not our individual kingdoms, God's kingdom first. So we're going to find out today who's in and who's out. Amen? Because let me just say this, and I'm going off on a rant. Debbie, be careful. She says, I hate when he goes off on a rant. This is a great church. You have a great preacher. You have a great staff. You have great elders. You have great deacons. And you're great people. But sometimes God's got to send a messenger to kick a little Christian butt, to get us back in line with who we're supposed to be. When we are great for God, God is great for us. And I'm telling you, right now is the time more than ever in any generation, maybe other than this one, that we need to be great for God. Because there's coming a day, there's coming a time when there's going to be a lot of pressure on those who are facing and standing up for the truth. And we can't be all entangled in the world. We can't be all entangled with just the niceties of life. We got to get God's work done. God doesn't have any problem getting his work done in heaven. He has a problem getting his work done on earth. And I'm telling you right now, it's only God's people who he's looking for to get the job done. And that's us, so we got to get busy. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, can't jump into a book without a little history. So for you history teachers out there, you can say right on. 604 BC, Egypt's in control of Judah. But God's in control of Judah because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen? 605, Battle of Carchemish takes place. Egypt's destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon come to power. By 597, Babylon's in full power. By 586, the city of Jerusalem is totally destroyed and people are dispersed all over the land. By 538, Persia rises up, destroys Babylon. King Cyrus was prophesied by Isaiah that he would rise up, a Persian king, and make a decree that God's people could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city after it was destroyed. And it is totally destroyed. It is a mess. There's really not much to go back to, but a desolated city. Now, God's raising up his people. He's stirring his people. 50,000 of them say, you can count on me. I'm going back, and we're going to rebuild God's city, because there was a passion for it. Remember, they were in Babylon for 70 years, and most of Israel got complacent. Most of Israel got squandered in the city. They just got entrenched in the city of Babylon. And they said, hey, this is a cool life, man, working in this glorious city, Babylon. We'll just stay here. Well, it was only 50,000 that went back to start to rebuild God's work. So God had his right people going back to do the work of God, but God had to remind them through the prophet Haggai. He raised up Haggai to force God's people to reconsider their priorities. And I really believe every generation needs a voice of Haggai. So this morning I'm your voice of Haggai to remind you to reconsider your priorities. God's people then and God's people today have become fearful. We're worried about all that's going on in the world, and we're scared. Well, we shouldn't be scared, because God's in control. He's always in control, and he will care for God's people who are doing his work. But they had become complacent. They become self-indulgent. He sent Haggai on the scene to say, consider your ways. And you're going to hear that a lot in this text. And when God says, consider your ways, you better consider your ways, or else you're going to suffer. And he says, and this morning he's going to ask us the same question. The big idea of this sermon is, are you faithful enough to allow for God's maximum favor to be in your life? Because if God has a people to do his work, he wants to bless that people to do his work. But he's only going to bless those people who are accomplishing his work, because they need faithful blessings. They need encouragement to carry out his bidding on earth. So Haggai comes along and says to his people, consider your ways. Why is he a risk taker like Joseph and Rahab and the rest we've been looking at? Because he has to go back and tell the people to get busy with God's work. Because they went back, that 50,000, and they got busy building the temple. But there was opposition from the Samaritans. There was some opposition internally as well. And then they got tired of the opposition. They got afraid. They were scared. And they stopped working on the temple. And they were trying to eke out a meager existence in a destroyed Jerusalem. And they were miserable. So Haggai comes along, just like people come up to you all week long. They say, how you doing? And you'll say things like, oh, things are going great, fine as frog hair. You know, if it were any better, I'd have to repent. And Haggai is calling his people of God to ask people this question. And I'm asking you this question this morning. How's it going, Christ Church? How's it going for you? How's it going for us? And these people that God was raising up, Haggai been called to ask the people, really, in essence, are they having the time of their lives doing God's bidding? And he's asking them, are you making it? Are you prosperous? Are you blessed? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you accomplishing God's task? And he knew the answer was no. They quit working on the temple of God. And they were suffering for it. And I believe anyone who calls themselves a Christian, and I believe if they're not accomplishing the task that God has called them to, God's going to bring some suffering into their lives. Now, you can be accomplishing all that God wants you to do and still suffer, because we live in a fallen world, cursed world. You can be the best Christian in the world, and you're going to go through difficult times. But when God's people get selfish, when they get complacent, God's going to send a messenger to wake them up and get them back to work, so their priorities can be God's priorities and God can pour out blessings upon them. So take a deep breath, fasten your seatbelt. We're going through the whole book of Haggai. It's only two chapters. First, he gives a call to action. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So God's raising up Haggai to deliver his message. This isn't Haggai's message, although it is. It's God's message through Haggai. This isn't Dennis's message to you. This is God's message to you through the prophet Haggai, of which I'm reading to you. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people, circle that in your Bible. He starts off, they're not working. They're not building God's kingdom. And God's calling them these people. He's not calling them my people. He's not calling them the people. He's saying these people. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? That should send chills up and down our spine. Because we're living in a materialistic, complacent age. And God was saying to me, when I in Bible college, you may get one day in a book. So we probably had one day in the book of Haggai. And when I read it, I thought it pricked my interest, but I really didn't quite get it all. But I passed the test, and that's all you care about when you're in school. Tim failed it. No, he did. He didn't. So he's saying, look, he said to yourself, be living. Is it time for you to be living in your panel houses while the house of God remains a ruin? Now, every one of us knows, if we're honest, too many times we get so consumed with our own little kingdoms that we don't have time for the kingdom of God. We don't have time for the church. We don't have time to be God's people. And I'm telling you, when that happens, we suffer. And God allows us to suffer because we've been made for something more glorious than the mundane things of the kingdom of this world. He says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says, and here it comes. When you keep hearing this, give careful thought to your ways. This is coming directly from God. Give careful thought to your ways. And this was the section of scripture that really got me excited, and I knew it was for this age as well. See if it sounds like many of your neighbors. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in purse with holes in it. Man, when I heard that purse with pants with holes in it, my ears went up. And I said, Lord, you're talking to this generation. You're talking to the modern church. You're talking to church where all we think we need is just go to church 1 hour a week and we've done our duty. Well, that's not Christianity. That is a raped form of what true discipleship is. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up in the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. He's saying, get busy and work. Work on the thing that you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be rebuilding the temple. And he says, go and get busy and start working. And he says that he would take pleasure in it and be honored in it. And for all of you who are working your hands to the bone and you're carving out many hours of being an elder and being a deacon and working in ministries and carrying out the work of the Lord here, listen to what God says. He says he takes pleasure in what we do and he's honored by what we do. There's nothing better you can do with your life than to honor God. And have God sit up in heaven with all the evil that's going on in the world and all the mocking that his son takes and all the mocking that the church takes and know that everything that you're doing, God sees and he's honored by it. That is the pinnacle of what you've been designed to do. He says, you expected much, but see, I turned it to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Some of you are struggling horribly because you're not doing what God's called you to do. You're fully invested in your life, not God's life. And yes, there's a curse upon you. And you say, well, we just went through that series that said that, you know, the what was the phrase? not working for the Lord. You know, we don't want to make the working for the Lord our mission. We want God to be our mission. That's true. But if God's your mission, you're going to be working for the Lord. He says, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin. And each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, he's saying because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain and new wine and oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. God saying, yes, you came back full of zeal, but then you lost your priority. And you started working on your own kingdoms, and the house of the Lord remained unbuilt. When the house of the Lord remained unbuilt in the Old Testament, the people couldn't worship properly. The priests couldn't do their job. He's saying the difference between you and the other pagan nations is around you, is that you have the temple of God. The difference between us is we are the temple of God. And for us to thrive and for our soul to be filled, we've got to be active in the kingdom of God. Then, once they get back to work, see what the benefits are. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant. Did you hear that? What did he call them earlier? These people. Now that they got back to work, God's calling them the remnant. They're mine. God always will have a remnant. He always will have a remnant. He always had a remnant. He always will have a remnant. And it's not the masses who are going to turn to Jesus and accomplish his work here on earth. It's not the masses who are going to stand up for the truth of God's work and teach the truth, the New Testament Christian principles in the church. It's not the masses. They're going to ignore it. Broad's the road to destruction. Narrow's the way to life. But it's those who are standing firm and being God's people are going to be those who get excited and get blessed by God. And then he says, And the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Now, I think in the ladies' rally, you're going to hear something about fearing the Lord, because Debbie's been working on that message for about 18 months. Tim and I got a week. No lunch for me today. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord to his people. I am with you. The crying's done. God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I can't think of better words that we need to hear right now at Christ Church and right now in this age. God is with us. Amen? Amen. We got to be for God. We can't be complacent. We got to work. Every one of us should be doing something in the kingdom of God here at Christ Church. So God gets the glory and he gets the honor. He needs the glory and honor in this generation. And the only ones who can bring it are his true disciples of Christ in his church. We bring God honor and glory every time we obey his kingdom word. And he says, I'm with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor. So he's stirring up the leadership first and foremost. And this is a challenge to the elders and to the staff here. Get stirred up. If you're excited, the people will be excited. If you're on fire, the people will be on fire. Get stirred up. This is revival he's talking about. God's message was to the people was to lay aside their complacency and work. And when they started working, they got excited. And when God saw they were excited, he says, I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid. He says, he stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. That's the priesthood, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And the spirit of the whole remnant, there's that word again, they're working, and the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Whew! Praise God. Because without them working for the Lord, They're disposable. They're just like the pagan nations. Without us working for the Lord, we're just like the rest of the pagan world. We're just like the rest of Hollywood. The most miserable people in all the world are the materialistically rich and blessed people of Hollywood. They're miserable to the core. Then he gives them a call to courage, chapter 2. And these are four messages that he's bringing. The first one was August 29th. The second one came on October 17th. And then the last two are going to come in the month of December on December 8th. So it's a short period of time. Chapter 2, call to courage. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. There's a God's loving relationship inspired by devotion and work. Ask them, who of you is left who saw the house in its former glory? And remember, they went back. They went back 100 and some years before Nehemiah went back. Nehemiah went back to fix the ruined walls. So they've gone back to fix something, a shattered city of nothing. He says, how does it look to you? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work. There's a resounding reminder through this whole thing. Get busy and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. So he's saying, yeah, you're going to work. And Christ Church, you're going to have to work in some difficult times. You're going to have to work through some difficult periods. The church doesn't always go up straight like a pie chart, you know, or a timeline. You know, we go through ups and downs. We go through dips and valleys, you know. But I'm telling you, if you're preaching the truth, and we are here, I'm telling you, if you have good leadership, and we have it here, I'm telling you, if we just reach out to the community in love, and we are here, I'm telling you, there may be dips in times. There may be times when things are going good and things aren't going quite as good. Attendance is up, attendance is down. That doesn't matter. Be faithful and work. We're going to be going through difficult times. God is with us, and he's telling us, do not fear. Jesus said that over and over and over again. Do not fear. Do not fear. Look at the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Almost said lilies of the air and birds of the field. That's just being, oh, that's why I retired. This was, in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth. This is what thrills my soul. The sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the desires of nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord. What he's saying is, look, I know what you're working on is nothing. I know what you're working on right now doesn't seem like it has momentum, and it doesn't seem like it's going to amount to anything. I know, but that's what I've called you back to do. Be the generation that goes to work. And he says, I'm going to be with you. And he's telling them that they're not to fear. And he's telling them that this present house, this house that looks like nothing, is going to be filled with glory again, because the desire of nations would come. And the desire of nations is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he walked into that temple for the first time when he was 12 years old. And they were amazed by his teaching. And he walked back into that city and he gave his life for you and for me. And he taught like none other who had ever taught before. And people were amazed. And 3,000 were baptized on the day of Pentecost, which began the church. And the church has been marching forth in a cursed and fallen world where people hate God all the way. But God is with us. We will not fear, because he's called us to do his work. Then he gives a call to purity. On the 24th day of the ninth month, the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says.
If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and the fold touches some bread or stew or wine or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no, that's true. It wouldn't by their law. Then Haggai said, if a person is defiled by contact with a dead body, touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with the people and with the nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do, whatever they offer, there is defiled. And he's reminding them of what was happening before they started to work. Because the principle is this: ceremonial uncleanliness is transferred easier than holiness. Now think about your life in a fallen world in the flesh. Isn't it easier to do what the flesh desires than what God desires? The answer is yes. Is it easier for, if I won't go there. He's saying it's much easier to sin than it is to become holy. You got to work in holiness. These people were back in the holy city of God. Being back in the holy city didn't make them holy. Being dedicated to God and carrying out his purpose made them holy. Just being in church doesn't make you holy. Being devoted to the Lord's word, carrying it out, living a pure life. It's hard in a sinful age, I know, because it's a daily struggle. We've got to pick up our cross daily and follow him. But when we do, the blessings and the favor of God flow into our lives. And he says, then Haggai says, so it is with these people in the nation. Now, verse 15. Now, give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one of these stones was laid on one another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. And when anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to this day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn until now, until the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate and olive tree have not borne fruit? From this day on, I will bless you. When they got to work building God's kingdom, and he's told them, look back on how miserable your life was. But when you dedicated it to the work and the building of God's house, then you take note from this day on how my blessings will follow you. And I'm telling you, Debbie and I, when we left the Ocean View Church of Christ to enter Bible college and just tell the Lord, Lord, you take me and use me however you want. From that day on, we've watched God work. We've worked through some thin, narrow times financially, but we've watched God bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us and bless us over and over because we were faithful to his call. And then he closes this up with a call to hope. The word of the Lord came to Haggai the second time on the 24th day. This is December 8th. Of the month, tells Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the powers of foreign kingdoms. That's why we're not to fear. God's on the throne. He's still in control. Amen? He's still watching over. You don't have to worry about what's on the news at night. I like to watch the news just to see what's happening. But I'm strong and faithful. And the Lord, and the news depresses me sometimes. And I have to get my head back into the word and get back into just trusting God. He says, I'm going to overthrow all the kingdoms of the world is what he's saying. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers and horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, the signet ring was just a pledge. It was a seal. It was a guarantee of a full payment. And because Zerubbabel went back with the 50,000, along with Joshua and along with Haggai, they were starting a chain of events that would lead to the coming of Jesus Christ. Don't have time to get into this morning. You go back and read Matthew's genealogies. Zerubbabel's the son of Shealtiel, who's listed in the genealogies. And then there's Zerubbabel. And then you go down, that leads to Christ. The Davidic line was being carried out through this faithful obedience of God's people, that little remnant who came back, got complacent, got called back to work, and when they worked, God continued the blessing that would lead to Jesus Christ. He's working with you. He's working with me. Take out your sheets. I think the ushers are going to come forward at this time. Every one of us here at Christ Church, we need to be doing the work of the Lord. You got to find a place to serve in the house of the Lord so God's blessings can come to you. We also want to offer you at this time a message right now to accept Jesus Christ if you've never have. If you've never come to Him as Lord and Savior, come right now. Well, we have the rest of the service. We'll finish, but come right now. I don't know whether the people are supposed to be down here, but come on up here if you're there, because somebody may come. Come right now. We'd love to have Gil stumble down into the baptistry again and watch you be baptized. He's my buddy. I can say that. We're willing to stumble down and do anything to get you in there. You may need to start volunteering in some capacity. Some capacity. You need to share your faith with other people in the Lord. And let me say this as a personal challenge. God's people need the tithe. The first greatest thing I wanted to teach my daughter was to model true Christianity, that she would see it and want to have it in her life. So when she was baptized into Christ and now she's faithfully serving the Lord, that thrilled my heart. But the next greatest thing I needed to teach her was that she needed to be a tither. Because God says, He gave the challenge in the book of Malachi, trust me in this, test me in this, and see if I won't pour out the glories of heaven. I'm telling you, I know right now we're going through a little tough time financially. That should never be. That's telling me we're a little too worldly with our money. And we need to start the tithe. Build up to the tithe. The tithe is 10%. That was Old Testament. Giving should be even more than that in the New Testament. That's my personal plea to you so that God's blessings can flow to you so you won't be always watching your money flow through your pockets because God's withholding a blessing for you. So if you have any decisions to make, salvation, come. If you need prayer, come. If you need counseling, come. If you need to leave early, come. Just come.